Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we're back. Yes, we're back in the flesh. Scockle Branson, Momo, and this is Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Sports original podcast. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. 2 weeks to go until the NFL draft. We're running through positions. And again, want to introduce you to my co-host, my partner here on the show. That is Mr. Mo Moten, senior NFL writer at Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist at sportsnot.com. You can follow him and interact with him and feel his wrath at Mo Moten, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. You can find me at LV Gully, as well as you can read my work and watch my work up on sportsnot.com in addition to what we do here with the Raiders. And we're just forging ahead with draft coverage. Geez, I got to start talking better, Mo. What's going on here? Blah, 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 blah. All right, we're good. So draft coverage. Now, we're just 2 weeks away. We've been through quarterbacks. We've been through the offensive line. We talked through defensive line. Now we're to defensive backs. We're going to talk cornerbacks and safeties today. And we will make some assumptions like we did last time. We'll explain that to you in just a minute. I'm always interested, Mo. Last time on the show on Tuesday, as usually, we premiere the show, and I'm always in the chat live talking with our listeners. And a lot of folks were saying, "We need offensive linemen. We don't need defensive linemen." And it was really interesting because everybody's got their opinion, and they're all valid because it's your opinion. But I'm surprised that because the defense did so well last year towards the end of the year, people think like because Christian Wilkins is now inside that they're good. And I was trying to explain to them, no, John Jenkins, those guys are good players, but you can always see depth. But we always talk about it here, Mo, and I want you to touch on this, and that is good young players on rookie contracts, right?
Not only that, but defensive line is one of the position groups where I think I said it during the show that you're going to probably need five or six guys in rotation.
Right.
And that includes, and I'm including, you know, a defensive tackle you may have on the practice squad because there are injuries, obviously. We don't want anyone to get hurt. But if you've been watching football long enough, you know that most teams have about five or six interior linemen that they rotate in and out based on the situation, pass rushers, run stoppers, players who are a combination of the two. So I think we said this and we made this clear on Tuesday's show that we don't expect the Raiders to draft a defensive lineman within the first two rounds, at the earliest, maybe the third round. And that's why we didn't touch on the top prospects. This is why we didn't touch we didn't talk too much about Byron Murphy the second, because he's probably, you know, at the latest, early second round pick. So we talked about guys that could go in the fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth round. And that's what we tried to do on Tuesday's show.
Exactly. And that's the assumptions we make. And I think a lot of people got it when I was explaining it to them, because I wasn't You have a different opinion. I'm cool with it. I'm not mad about it. I mean, it's your opinion. You're entitled to it. So, but I was trying to explain the premise, which we explained in the show. Of course, our viewers on YouTube are awesome because they come to the show a few minutes before it starts and they start chatting even before. Why are you talking about defensive linemen? So it was good to be able to do that. And now we're going to talk about a need that I know Raider fans understand. It might not be need number one or two, but it's need number three in my book. And that is at cornerback. The Jack Jones signing last year obviously worked out well so far. If he continues to play like he did last year, then they're good. They need someone else on the outside. They got the slot good, right? I mean, and you have Ja'Quarian Bennett there as a developmental talent as well. So when we look at this too, we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to mention one guy only because the only way I see the Raiders surprise us, I really believe this, outside of trading up for a quarterback or whatnot, is taking a cornerback in the first round. I think the chances of that happening are very, very slim, very slim. So I'm going to mention one guy at the top of the draft from a cornerback because the cornerback class is A-plus this year. It is really, really deep. Guys you're going to get in the third or fourth round, Mo, which we're going to talk about some of these guys too, are quality players, right? I mean, yes, they're not first rounders. They're not the Kool-Aid McKinstrys or the Quinyon Mitchells and those guys, but they're pretty good. And the more I looked into that class, I'm like, dang, there is a lot of value. Now, some of those guys might move up into the second round when there's runs or people are making deals and moving around. But when you look at this class, very, very impressive.
Very impressive. There are two names specifically at the top that are going to be mocked to the Raiders, probably at 13. But as you mentioned, and I've done mock draft simulations. I don't like to talk about mock drafts too much to saturate the market for mock draft. But in doing those, not to say that that's going to be what happens on draft day, but it's very clear that you could probably go four rounds deep and get a starter at some point. I don't think the Raiders wait till the fourth or fifth round to get a cornerback to potentially actually start. But I'd say it's a possibility in the second round. I've written in multiple columns now, said on multiple shows that, and I'm going to make this very clear, if you're listening, Raider Nation, Tom Telesco has only drafted a cornerback in the first round once in 11 years.
Yep.
Once in 11 years, and that was Jason Verrett in 2014 with the Chargers. Since then, he's waited to day two, day three to draft a cornerback. Most of the time, a lot of times he likes to sign veteran cornerbacks. I talked about that in my piece last week on SportsNot about some of the veterans he's picked up in Los Angeles with San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers. Brandon Flowers, Casey Hayward. He tried JC Jackson. It didn't work. But he typically likes veteran cornerbacks and guys on day two of the draft. So we'll talk about some of those guys today.
Absolutely, yes. And there's good ones, and I've picked out some. I know you'll have some probably similarities, but you'll also have your own that I don't have listed. But we're going to go through that, and that's the way I looked at it, Mo, was third round, possibly bottom of second. They could trade, depending what they do. You know, if you get an extra second round pick, some of these guys could move up into the bottom of the second. But some of these are third and fourth rounders, and like you said, could start in the NFL right away. So I think that is good for the Raiders because at a position of need, they have a very, very, very deep draft, and I like that. And, of course, the guy I was most impressed with, and this is going to be a first rounder, so I don't think it plays into the cards for the Raiders, which was Terrion Arnold. I was so impressed with him, not only because of his physical attributes and what he did, but his leadership and his just the kind of feeling you got around being around the young man. He's going to be a good one, and just hope he doesn't go into the AFC West against the Raiders. But for me, Mo, I'm going to start with a guy that I like and I think will be there when the Raiders are turning to this need. And he could move up a little bit. There was some good talk about him, which is Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, 6 foot, 186, 31 tackles, 4 assists, 15 stops. He had 2 pass breakups. Now this year, I didn't have any interceptions. This year though, his quarterback rating as far as targeting was a little higher than usual. So that's kind of pushed him down a little bit. A lot of people liked Lassiter last year as well. But I like him too because I think he's the kind of guy who can play outside, keep up with the modern NFL wide receiver, and he's very quick in transition. So when you get those coverages and you get some of the plays that you see in the NFL today, he's do that. He's also really good tackler. You know, people forget about that with cornerbacks, Mo, is tackling, right? We've seen some pretty bad tackling Raider teams over the last 4 or 5 years. It got much better last year, but we saw some of that. And I think that when you're looking at cornerbacks, yeah, you're looking at the coverage, you're looking at all that stuff, but you also have to look at that. That's the reason like I like Kamari Lassiter.
Kamari Lassiter, I guess the knock against him would be ball production, I guess. Yep. As I briefly mentioned, you know, lack of interceptions. But when you look at cornerbacks, I think you have to be careful about counting interceptions because, you know, pass breakups are also important. You also have to look at how many targets that player is getting on a collegiate level. A lot of times a good cornerback isn't going to see a lot of targets because the, you know, the quarterback is just going to avoid that player and throw to the other side of the field, whoever that is. But I'll talk about Kyree Jackson out of Oregon. That's a guy that I've talked about before the combine. And I think not that he's overlooked, but coming into the draft evaluation process, he was overlooked because he's only a 1 year starter. He was at junior college. He was a JUCO player, was at Alabama, didn't get a starting job there. Then transferred, moved to Oregon and got some play time and showed out once he got on the field. So I think his upside is very high because he's still learning. He's still learning to play the position from an experience perspective, right? So he's not a 2-3 year starter, but from what you saw last year from him at Oregon, you can see the upside in him. And he's a 6'3", about 195 cornerback. Yeah. So while Patrick Graham usually doesn't go for bigger cornerbacks, he could be the replacement for Brendan Faison, who's about 6'2", over 200 pounds. So if I'm looking at a guy who can be that replacement and be the size complement to Jack Jones. Jack Jones went on the X recently and says he's over 6 feet. We'll give him that. We'll just say, yeah, Jack, you're over 6 feet.
He deserves that.
You put whatever you want in your driver's license. You can say whatever you want on Twitter on the X. But I think the Raiders need some size on the outside, and Kyree Jackson gives them that size and length on the perimeter.
I love Kyree Jackson, Mo. And I mean, you look at last year, 12 games, 26 tackles, 7 assists, 12 stops. He had 8 pass breakups, 3 interceptions. So you talk about the ball ability there. And not only that, the QB rating was 41.6, which is a very good one. And he had 6 pressures and 2 sacks. That's the thing I like about him, too. He is good as a blitzer as well.
Yeah.
So that gives you a lot of opportunity there as well. He's good in press man coverage. He also is, I was talking about it earlier with Lassiter, he's also a good tackler, right? And again, so you look at him, he's got an eagerness about him. Like he wants physical, he wants physicality. He wants to hit. And so I think you look at what kind of mentality and attitude and culture the Raiders are building, especially on defense, building off of last year. He's a guy who fits in really, really well. And that ball tracking ability, which you talked about being maybe a little bit of a downside for Lassiter, Jackson is good. And you look at this and, you know, every player has things they have to work on. It just blows my mind that this class is so deep that we're talking about a guy because he's 6'4", 190 or 6'3", 190, but he's not a guy who plays like an overly big cornerback. You know what I mean? He plays much more like a guy 6'1", 6 foot. He just seems much more fluid than some of the bigger cornerbacks I've seen.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for out of a bigger cornerback, because if you're stiff in the hips, you don't have a good back pedal, then they try to move you to safety.
So he's
not as experienced as some of the other corners in the class, but I think his upside is there, and I think the ball production could come if he gets on the field for a substantial amount of time. So you're looking at Kyree Jackson, probably I would say he's probably a late round two, early round three pick. I remember starting the process, a lot of people talked about him as an early day four pick. Mm-hmm. He has some buzz. He generated some buzz after the combine. Didn't run as fast as I thought he would. I thought he would run in the 4.3s. He didn't, but if you look at his play speed on tape, you can see the speed is there for him. So I think he's a late round two, early round three player that the Reds can consider if they want a guy who could potentially push for a starting job on the outside.
Yeah, and I think that's where you have to look. I mean, as a third, especially if he falls to the third round, and the Raiders can get there and get him would be pretty remarkable if they've taken care of the other needs, especially. Mo, what do you look at as far as so we're talking solidly third round. When we start to talk about the fourth, fifth round, you might have guys that might not be day one starters. They could be, you never know, with as deep as the class is, but who passed the Kyrie Jacksons of the world in that solid third round or maybe low third round, fourth round. Who else are you looking at?
Max Melton out of Rutgers. His brother plays for the Green Bay Packers, Bo Melton. He's a wide receiver. So if Max Melton needs some pointers on how to catch a football, he can just ask his older brother who was with the Green Bay Packers, made some plays this past season. But Max Melton, I believe he has 8 interceptions in the last 3 years. So I don't think he'll need those pointers. He has the ball production. He's a feisty defender, and I think that's something that will appeal to Antonio Pierce. He wants some tough guys, even in the secondary. And if he does, Max Melton fits that mold. They had a recent tweet post on the X, and I said guys that I think fit the Raiders system or fit the mold of what Antonio Pierce wants, because I want to reiterate this. Antonio Pierce wants a certain type of player, regardless if it's at running back, cornerback, linebacker. He wants a certain mentality in that locker room, and I think Max Melton fits it to a T.
Yeah, and another guy, and I'm wearing my Notre Dame shirt today because I'm picking this guy. Of course, I got to pick somebody. Actually, you're talking fourth round, maybe even into the top of the fifth round, a guy, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, 6'2", 200 pounds. The Senior Bowl, man, he was on fire at the Senior Bowl. He's one of those freakish athlete guys again, right? So I'm not saying this is a guy, Cam Hart, you get him in the fifth round that he's going to come in, or bottom of the fourth, he's going to come in and start right away. But I like what he has. I've never seen a cornerback, Mo, at that size with a larger wingspan. Like, he puts his – it's unbelievable what he does. He reminds me a little bit – remember Byron Jones of the Dolphins?
Yes.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of Byron Jones. The issue with Cam Hart is he's built on top. He's got those large arms, and then his legs, he tapers like a V. Right.
Yeah.
So he needs bottom end strength and conditioning. So but I think he's a guy late if you're looking and you have, because the Raiders obviously have those fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, you know, depending where he goes, he could be a guy that you bring in development. They need a starter. So that, you know, this is as we're getting later in the draft and you're looking to fill some spots with guys who might be worth the flyer. But he's a guy I like too, not just because he went to Notre Dame, but he's just, he's so put together up top. It's just that bottom half he's got to work on.
Yeah, he's got to work on that base so he has some balance there.
Exactly.
Himself out. But there's a player that you speak about the fifth round.
Yeah.
There's a player I mentioned recently in Renardo Green out of Florida State who I started to take a liking to. And there were other people out there that started to look at some Renardo Green film and like him. Now, he may be... maybe he's better suited for man coverage. I think he can do both man and zone coverage because it's – and I mentioned man and zone coverage quickly, briefly, because the Raiders this past season, there's some charting done out there from the analysts and show that the Raiders have played more cover three last year, which is similar to what Gus Bradley ran when he was defensive coordinator for the Raiders, and it helped that defense. So if you're looking for cornerbacks, just in general – I think you want to lean toward cornerbacks who played in zone heavy systems.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, we didn't talk about him, you know, extensively, but Quinyon Mitchell played in the zone heavy system at Toledo.
Yes.
So that's why he's popping up as a possible option. I think Terrion Allen could do both, play zone and man. Of course, most teams will implement both, but I think the Raiders are going to be mostly a zone heavy coverage team. And I think Renardo Green, if he could do both, could be a fit in the fourth or fifth round.
And I think Mitchell would be the perfect fit for the Raiders. It's just unfortunate that they have other needs they got to take care of in the first round. Because, and to your point about Telesco's history too. So it's unfortunate. He's going to be a good player. I really think he's going to transition well into the NFL. But there's been bigger surprises, Mo. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. You have a defensive coach. So, hey, maybe he's got the influence. You never know.
And I put this out on Sportsnet today, Thursday, and I said that even though Telesco's history is what it is, doesn't really go for cornerbacks in the first round, you also have to look at who's available in value. If you can get arguably the best cornerback in the draft at 13, and let's say the top tackles are off the board, or you think Michael Penix is going to be available in the second round, you might take a cornerback and say, we'll take the best cornerback at 13 in the middle of the first round.
Yeah.
And then hope that we can get Michael Penix in the second round. If not, we'll go in another direction. So you have to also look at value and who's available for you. So I wouldn't, while I don't think it's going to happen with a cornerback at 13, I would be naive to say it's not a possibility.
What I see too, Mo, from our listeners and our viewers is a lot of apprehension if that were to happen because of the Damon Arnetts, because of the Conleys, right? The Raiders have had trouble when they've drafted early cornerbacks, okay? And so you got to go back a ways to find one that's good. And then overall in the NFL, a lot of people make the argument, and they have some data to support them, which is, you know, taking a cornerback that high, unless you're a team on the cusp of, you know, just being a Super Bowl champion and you just need that one piece, is difficult. So we'll see. But to your point, the value there, if you can get the best player available and you're staring at a Quinyon Mitchell at 13, which I doubt, but if you are, could happen. Yeah, it's a tough decision, man. It's not easy being a GM. I'm telling you, people think it's easy, but it's not. It's not Madden, right? So we'll see what they do.
People are afraid to take a cornerback at 13 because of what's happened in the past. Just remember, Tom Telesco didn't make those picks. Exactly. You got a whole new GM. You know, so you can't put, you know, the apprehension on Tom Telesco when it was Mike Mayock or Reggie McKenzie making the picks. So it's not Reggie McKenzie and Mike Mayock anymore. It's Tom Telesco.
Right. And that's where I was chatting with some viewers on Tuesday's show, and they were talking about the what they felt was the Raiders didn't need offense or defensive linemen, inside. Well, they have Byron Young. And I said, yeah, remember, Tom Telesco didn't take those guys. Yes, they're under contract. But the guaranteed money is not a big deal with those guys. So, yes, they might seem to have a logjam there, but 2, 3, maybe even 4 of those guys, you don't know. They could be gone. I doubt it's 4, but I don't see all those guys sticking around.
Shoot, Scott, Dave Ziegler traded away his own 4th-round pick within a year. Remember, Neerfield Jr. was traded to the Chiefs, so it lasted a year. So,
yeah.
You know, new GMs, as you said, new GMs come in, they want their flavor of player, and they don't have any allegiance or ties to the previous regime's player, so you never know who's on the way in, who's on the way out.
Yes. All right, well, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get to the safeties. Not a great class in safeties. If I'm giving it a grade, I'm saying CC- even, maybe.
That might be generous.
Yes, that might be generous. I'm trying to
D class of safeties.
I'm trying to be positive, Mo. But when we come back, we're going to get into safeties. Could the Raiders use a safety late in the draft? Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. They could. You know, you never know. Depth is a big deal in the NFL, so you can never have too many. But when you're addressing a lot of needs, or at least a few big ones, you got to focus on those first, which I know the Raiders will do. All right, we're going to take that break. When we come back, we're going to talk about safeties. You're with Mo. You're with Scott. This is Silver and Black Today.